Thank y'all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry podcast brought to you by Raising Grace Studios. Want to give a big shout out to Par Hopper, Nobles Networking, Williams Tire. I'm forgetting somebody. I forget a lot of people. Red Circle. Thank you to all the corporate sponsors. Still blows my mind when you hear DraftKings and other places like that that are sponsoring the show. Appreciate the checks, and y'all just let me do what the hell I want. A couple months ago, I had Perfectly Kelsey on my show, and as I've told y'all several times, I didn't know if we was going to get along. I did not know, and I ended up in a good way becoming obsessed with this woman because I think she's just such a good person, and I've got to see her love life unfold and everything. So today, I've got Miss Kelsey and Curtis a week before they get married. So I'm grateful y'all had time to just come bullshit with me.
Yes.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
How are things going right now with y'all just being a couple days out?
Good. It's the stress of kind of not just planning the wedding, but also the charity event. So we're putting the charity event on the next day. So it's a lot.
Only beef I got with you is y'all are getting married on my birthday in Georgia. And it's just like, y'all could have done something else. Nobody's going to come hang out with me for my birthday now because of your wedding.
You can come to our wedding and just
I'm too trashy. I am not the guy that you casually invite to your wedding. One, I've seen your friends. I have no chance in hell, and I drink way too much. So I know what's going to happen. I'm going to make an ass out of myself. So it's best if I stay on my side. No, it's not. I'm telling you, I'd be shooting shots that MJ couldn't hit. I think for some reason, little whiskey makes me think that I'm way taller than I am and in way better shape.
Liquid courage, man.
Dude.
My friends are married anyway. So.
I would never hit on a married woman. That's like one of my biggest pet peeves. I can't stand that mess. But I have been known to just eyeball, and I'm 33. You know when you see these older men that just stare at women and you're like, what a fucking creeper. Like, what is he doing? I understand it now. It's like, I'm probably never going to see you again. Let me just get a really good look.
Never thought about it that way. But yeah, old man creeper syndrome. You know, those old guys just like.
I'm getting bad about it. I really wish I wasn't. Like, it's going to be what it's going to be at this point.
See, like, I stare and zone out. So that's what I always thought was happening. Is it's just people zoning out and it just looks like they're staring.
I love that.
No, I'm staring. 100%. Well, tell us about the charity event y'all got the day after your wedding.
Yeah, so we're putting on, with our wedding, we're pretty much using the wedding for the charity event. That was the whole point, is we wanted to raise a lot of money. I don't believe in institution of marriage, and he's done getting married. He did it once, and it wasn't good. So we're having a wedding, and it's kind of like a commitment ceremony. Celebration of love. So we can have all of our friends and family there. But then we really wanted to use this day to raise money for our causes that are very near and dear to our hearts. So, like, we're raising one. For me, it's Breaking the Silence Against Domestic Violence, for my journey that I went through with domestic violence. And then we're doing the Down Syndrome Association of the Lowcountry, because that is his son has Down syndrome. So we're raising money for that. And then it's on September 11th. So we're also raising money for the first responders.
Litchfield.
Yes, in the area. But yeah, it's basically just, there's like 90 plus influencers that are going to be there. There's going to be food trucks and drinking all night and partying, a silent auction, putting on a silent auction to raise more money, but just to see how much we can raise and give back to kind of what shaped us and made us and is important to us.
We also partnered with a company called Riff, their app Riff. So they're going to basically live stream they're going to live stream Friday and live stream Saturday. And then it's a woman owned company and they're going to donate. They're going to match the proceeds that they make off Riff app. So that's pretty awesome too. So we're excited about that. So we've got multiple avenues of, people donating and people getting involved with the charity. So we're super excited to see the outcome.
Yeah.
There's something special about people like y'all that, they just do that. Like, you take something that was going to be meaningful to y'all, but you make it meaningful to everybody. That's what I want to see so much more. There's so many people on social media that I hate. I hate to see them make money. And I don't mean to be like petty fucking Betty here, but like, they're just bad people and they're walking around just flaunting their money. But then you see somebody struggling on the streets, or you see some kid that needs a little bit more attention, we help with autism around here. We have sensory rooms that we donate to. And it's like when you see these kids and their needs, but then you see some guy or whatever in our hometown that's riding around in a vehicle they don't need and a house they don't need, but they're not giving back or helping anybody. It's like, what is your legacy going to be? You're going to be a greedy, stingy old bastard that had a lot of money in the bank that didn't help nobody. And I can't stand that shit.
Well, karma comes where it is needed eventually. Usually people like that are very, very lonely inside. So
they fill themselves with negative voids.
Yep.
Material things.
I have a lot of negative voids around me, and it's usually toxic women.
Or your toxic mindset. Maybe it's you.
Hey, look, I'm starting to realize that there's one common denominator in all the bad relationships I've had. It is I'm the only one that's still hanging around.
And whiskey.
I didn't really start drinking bad. I didn't start, like, I almost, like, it's to the point now that with my show, I'll have my 1 year anniversary on October the 1st from opening the studio, from getting fired from country radio and all this kind of stuff. And I have drank more in the last year than I have drank in the previous 32 combined, I think. I almost feel like I'm developing a problem, but I think if I think that I have a problem, that I don't have a problem. So it's kind of weird. So I don't know what to do.
So were you like the bubble love sponge of country radio?
I was, I tried to be the Howard Stern of country radio a lot. But see, I'll tell you, I got in trouble several times last year because one thing that I'm very sensitive about is I do not like racism. I cannot, there's something, I grew up in a place that it was very obvious and it rubbed me the wrong way from a very early age. But I started getting in trouble last year in country radio when NASCAR, when they banned the Confederate flag from all their stuff. Well, being a white Southern male looking like me, I look like King Racist. Like I look like I ought to be like Grand Dragon with a hood on, right? You know what I'm saying? When I got on country radio and I said my beliefs on the Confederate flag, how it's negative, how I can see that it stands for hate, that it doesn't mean shit to me. I got death threats from like the Sons of Confederacy. And once that stuff started, they looked for every excuse to get me out of country radio after having the number one show in Georgia for the past 2 years. That's why the podcast and everything took off and blew up like almost right out the gate to where we got sponsors is because people don't want to deal with that bullshit anymore. They want people that's real. And even if you look like me, I'm going to hurt your fucking feelings with my beliefs and I'm not going to care because you don't care about, you know, my beliefs. So why should I care about yours?
Fair enough.
But that doesn't seem like a bad belief.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I don't
believe that though. It's a problem. Like
there's too many overly, what makes me mad about the people who want to stand up and raise hell about the Confederate flag is they want to say, oh, don't take our rights, blah, blah, blah. You don't care about my beliefs or whatever. But then you see them getting mad on social media, like when a gay couple gets married.
Right.
And it's like, how do you think your beliefs are more important than their beliefs?
Well, that's the thing. They're very egocentric and yeah, it is just their beliefs. Everybody else is wrong. They're right. And so that's just what they go with. It's such a lack of education.
It is.
Like even the Confederate flag it's not patriotic at all.
No.
They're revolting against everything that was patriotic. Like it makes no sense.
You can't fix stupid.
No, you sure can't.
I've learned a very long time ago just to not argue with them. If I say something, I used to be the type that when somebody would post something negative on my social media, I would want to chop their heads off. I am a great shit talker. And it takes a very strong person to out shit talk me. And I did it for a little while. And then it was just so negative and it felt like so toxic to me. That I was like, you know what? That's not going to be me. If you're going to believe that strongly in your beliefs and I believe that strongly in mine, I'm just going to agree to disagree with you. And you can keep losing sleep over it. I'm not going to.
Right.
My point exactly. I can't change your viewpoint. You can't change my viewpoint. We're just going to go in circles, right? Circles over and over, and it's draining, it's toxic, like there's no point. So I see it, I'm like, I'm not even gonna pay any attention.
That's how I was on my old page. Mm-hmm. I was doing, they were calling me the clapback queen because I always had something to say back.
And oh, you seem like the top. Yeah. I wouldn't get into a shit talk with you.
But I stopped doing it because it was so draining. So I was like, now.
But it never stopped though.
It never stopped. It'd be someone else.
You clap back and it's my come back. You clap back. It's my right. Come back. You clap back. It's like, never ended. At what point does it end? Like, again, like it takes a person, you know, 0.2 seconds to say something negative when they can say something positive in those 0.2 seconds. They choose to be negative and it makes no sense to me why they like that.
I even took, like, I started reading a lot of stuff on like your mental health because I deal with anxiety and depression. I'm a suicide survivor for like 10 plus years now. And I've done my best to get all the negativity out of my life. So like that's even on my posts and everything now. I've only got like 200,000 followers on my shit or whatever. So nothing like y'all assholes. But but people come in there with negative stuff and I quit reading my comment section. I hate it for the people that put stuff that are nice on there, but I can almost never remember a nice comment, but a negative comment I will remember for days.
Yeah. It sucks that it's like that.
It does.
It really is like that. I'm good. I think I've gotten to a place, but like you said, like with the mental health, like I had to step back and I had to work, like make sure I was good. And now I can go in there and I can see them and they don't bother me. Or I'll make like a funny response back because I still have to be like sarcastic. I can't get rid of that. That's me.
You know, I'm the same way. I just, instead of posting it now, I do it in my head.
Oh, because
I feel like some people like they want you to share their stuff for one reason or another. They think that they're going to blow up off of it, or they think that they're going to get some type of attention or whatever. It's not in me. Yeah, I don't want to be that person no more. I want to put like positivity out into the fucking world, because that's all you see on social media now. It's just bullshit after bullshit, hate after hate. And it's a lot of ignorance disguised, or racism disguised as ignorance. I mean, it's just a bunch of undercover bullshit. And I don't want it no more.
I don't blame you.
I agree.
I'm very smart. I don't look like it. Trust me, I know.
You are very smart. I enjoyed our last conversation.
I did. Only thing, that, like when we started getting to the feminism thing.
Yeah,
I'm not doing it with you. Mm-mm. No, I like you too much. And plus, like I said, I'm scared.
Feminists are one thing. All they want is equality, right? They want to be equal. I disagree 100% with feminists because I think women are so much more superior than men in so many ways.
Of course you do. What the fuck? I didn't realize that's how that was going to go.
Yeah.
I should have looked at you and knew how that was going to go. I stuck my own fucking foot in my mouth there.
Future is female, just so you know.
See, I have a daughter, though, so half of me is cool with that. Like, my best friend in this world is 9 years old. She's a little Viking queen. She's a badass. And I want her to be that way. Like, you know, I do. But at the same time, it's like, I still just want everybody to be equal. But I honestly don't think we live in a. I don't think we live in a society or a world to where everybody's going to be equal ever. No, anyway,
it's never going to be a thing.
So why not? I don't think I can have boys anyway. So fuck yeah, future is female.
That's all he makes is boys.
I'm sorry, sir. After I had my daughter, though, I really don't think I used to always want a little boy. I don't think I want one now because I see. Yeah, I've seen all my friends who have boys, and they're disgusting.
They're so gross. They're so gross.
I'm sure they are. Like, I can't teach a curveball or a four-seam fastball to my daughter. I mean, she plays softball, but it's a completely different style. But at the same time, it's like, I've seen some of these kids, and it's like, you know what? I'm good.
They're nasty.
They're disgusting.
I mean, they're all stinky, I made a video of things I never thought
I would have to say. And one was, no, you can't eat the raw fish you caught out of the pond just now. You can't catch the alligator. They're in the backyard trying to catch an alligator.
Oh, but we're still stupid here in the South, though. We still try to do that. We don't grow out that phase. It's like, we see an animal. I don't hunt. Like, I'm not a hunter. And same thing. Like, I'm very different than a lot of people in the South. Like, it's not that I don't like it. It's I don't have the attention span for one. I also I like a lot of Native American stuff, and I'm not going to eat every part of an animal that I kill, so I don't see the need in killing it.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not going to use everything from this animal, but I can go to Walmart or a farmer's market and buy what I want. So hopefully the person that did kill that animal, they used it the way they were supposed to. I won't.
No, me neither.
Me either.
What's the grossest thing you ever ate an animal?
Oh, oxtail.
What?
Oxtail.
What does it taste like?
Like shit. See, I like soul food. I barely ever go to a white-owned restaurant. I do not do it. I think that black
folks, I can cook.
You look like you got some spice to you, though. Like, if I saw you in a kitchen, I'd be okay. If I saw you in the kitchen, I'd be okay with it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you'd be fine. But there's not me and my daughter. We made a funny video the other day, and it's we try to support everybody's business. Like, in the county we live in and the little area, even my daughter's like popular now on social media. Like, I don't let her have her own stuff because she's 10, but people see her, know her, know that the studio and everything's named after her. So like, we try to go to everybody's business. Well, like last month we caught shit from this business owner who's been in business for like 30 years here. And he's like, how come y'all don't ever come here and post anything on social media about our restaurant? But you're always posting it like this place called Shell Seafood. And I was like, please don't make me answer this. Like, your food's not bad, but it's bland as shit. Like, I just don't like, I like to fucking sweat when I eat from all the spices.
I love spice, yes.
Yeah, so we
don't like it as spicy as me.
Oh, really?
I do like spicy, but not
like spicy. Spicy.
I like to sweat when I eat.
Just a little too far.
Well, I'm bald headed. Oh, well, I don't know. You are too. But it's even a little bit of spice with my Caucasian ass, though. Just a little bit gets me pouring. It don't have to be a whole lot.
Yeah, me too.
It's a Caucasian in me.
Yeah, and half white in you.
Just hard to get rid of that bland side of us.
Get rid of that.
Yeah.
I try to. I do got to commend y'all on something, though. Like, one of my favorite things when I watch your videos is how good of parents y'all are. That's one thing that I didn't, like I said, didn't really go into that much with you in our first show because I just didn't. I always try my best when I'm having somebody on the show and I don't know who they are to not look at their social media beforehand, because I want to get to know you, because a lot of people put on shows on social media, they're them, but they're them turned all the way up.
Yeah.
You and y'all's youngins are the cutest fucking thing to me.
Aw.
Thanks.
Thank you. They're the sweetest. We got some good ones.
Yeah.
We got lucky. They're all really, really good.
If you want a bad one, I'll be more than happy to let y'all hang out with Gracie Terry for a day. What's bad is she's perfect. I talk shit about her because she gets on my nerves.
Yeah, that's how I am with Kobe.
Yeah, I mean, she gets on my nerves, like, no, but she's got my attitude, and she's got my personality, so it's like, I really can't get mad at you about this, but at the same time, I kind of want to punch you in the face.
That's how I feel about Kobe. She's like a little mini-me.
You got your hands full.
She is.
You're going to be in so much trouble by the time that girl's old enough to operate her own social media.
But she's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, she's going to have everything and just be able to like tell people whatever she feels inside.
She's probably the only 4-year-old that actually knows her own self at 4.
Right. She's very, very emotionally mature.
Yes.
And like, yeah, in tune. That's the word. Yeah.
In tune with herself.
Like, she knows what she wants, how to get it, and just all about how she feels inside. It's insane. She's very, very mature for her age.
She'll be one of those childhood stars. You're going to have a kid on your hands by the time that she's 10 or 12. It's been in movies or something. She'll have done something special by a very early age.
Yeah, a personality for it. That's all she tells me. Like, well, right now she just wants to be like one of the kids on YouTube, like showing or lights. I don't know, but we're on Amazon. So she actually does lives with me on Amazon Live showing her toys and different things. And companies have already started reaching out for her they want her to show the toys on Amazon. So she's kind of already like got her thing that she always wanted, just not YouTube yet, Amazon. But she'll get on there and she'll show her toys and how they work and just talk and talk and talk. It's so awesome.
Gracie watches a bunch of like those Twitch streams where they play with the toys or whatever it is. Yeah. And it is the weirdest thing in the world, right? To me.
Is it on Twitch now too? They did it on Twitch, like IRL.
I don't even have a Twitch. My daughter says Twitch to me all the time. Like I'm supposed to, I don't even know what it is.
It was designed as a gaming platform. So it was a streaming platform for gamers, right? Gamers are able to like stream their games there live while they're playing it, right? We can tune in. You can donate live, you know, you can have subscriptions. They make a shit ton of money. These guys are making a killing. I mean, you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars a month, right? And then that content they do, and then they throw that on YouTube with no editing at all. And then they're getting killing from the YouTube. They're getting revenue from the monetization from YouTube. So I didn't know they do the opening toys on Twitch either. That's interesting because I do watch Twitch during the day a lot. I watch some streamers play. I didn't know kids actually are on Twitch.
They might not be. I just think that's what she told me.
He got excited.
No. He did. I like when people go, whenever somebody, you can tell somebody's passionate about something because yes. they sit up straight. They get all into that. I was like, okay, I found my.
I'm a little bit of a nerd.
I'm a nerd, just not about that. Like anything to do with comic books or history, I love.
I'm on the gaming side because I'm in IT and technology. So I'm on the gaming side of things. So.
I like the human mind. I'm a big nerd.
Y'all did. See, it like stuff like that. Y'all just don't even seem like you're compatible, but you so are.
It works. It really works.
I bet, though, that when y'all argue, if you argue, I'm not saying you do, I don't know if you do or not. If y'all argue, it is hell.
No,
it's really not.
Really?
Yeah. No. Well, one, I'm not, like, I seem like a type that's, I am argumentative.
I was fixing this up.
That's not in question. But if like he's actually upset with me, like with him, nobody else gets this side of me, but like with him, then I just get really like sad. I'm like, okay, well, what do I need to do to fix it? And that's just.
See, my past relationships, I always internalize a lot of things. I just let it. I wouldn't say anything, right? I just let it build up. So I'm working more with her to be able to, hey, I'm having an issue with something, but usually it's never an issue except for white towels and they're white again. We had an argument. Our first argument was about white towels never being white again after you wash them.
He got mad because I kept wiping my makeup on the white towels and he was like, stop wiping your makeup on the white towels. I said, it doesn't even matter because when you wash a white towel, it's not white anymore. He's like, that doesn't make any sense. And I was like, it's never the same shade of white again. So why does it matter? And he, which is, I mean, very foot down, it absolutely is white again. And I was like, no, it's not. And that was our biggest argument so far.
I hate you too.
That was it. Man.
I just want to tell you, I am so pissed right now that was your biggest argument.
Biggest argument.
Oh my God.
A miscommunication.
Yes, yeah.
And then he'll be like, oh, well, I thought, you know, you meant it like this. And I was like, no, in my head, it was this. And he was like, oh, my bad. And then we're done.
She'll say, she's sorry. And I'll say, I'm sorry. And then it's over. We're done. Move on.
I have nothing for you too. That is nothing like my life. I wish that was the arguments that I had with the women around me. I wish that was the argument.
It's very different with her. Like it's very easy going with her. Like it's, hey, I'm gonna go do this. Okay, cool. I'm going. It was never like that in the past with my past relationship. It was very, very controlling. So like I was always almost like scared to ask for permission to do things, which I don't even know why I didn't ask for permission to do something, but like it was on that line. So with her, I'm like, hey, I'm going to go run and play some football tonight. All right, cool. See you later. And after I got to play football, I would expect to have like 18,000 calls. And she didn't even call me. I'm like, this is weird. Why did she not call? I don't understand this. Usually my phone has been ringing for like 3 hours. And I have.
Did I pay the phone bill? Like,
she no calls or nothing. It was great.
One thing that I think whenever the day I actually settle down and find a person that I like, I've been saying something for years that men are always better to women. When, like, not necessarily trust us, but if you do more for me as far as like mentally goes, like not calling me 500 times just to talk to me while you know I'm doing something, then I'm probably going to, in return, going to be way nicer to you. Like, yeah. If you're nice to me without me asking you to be nice to me, then I'm going to be so good to you. But if you go full psychopath, I'm probably just leaving.
I would hope so.
I'm too old now for it. Like a couple years ago, I believe that you could love somebody enough that they changed.
Yes, and
you know what? It doesn't happen. It does not happen. Nobody is going. Once you get to a certain point of your life, you are set in your ways, and you're not. They're not going to ever change.
The only way you can change a person is if you have a person who wants to change. It's that person. You can't make anyone do anything. But that's the controlling mindset. If you go into a relationship thinking that you can make somebody do something, it's going to end. Because that you start doing the control stuff, the calling and all that. And I don't have time. I'm a very busy woman.
Yeah,
come home when you're done.
Exactly. That's how it is. It's great.
I just don't get it with people. They're like, you fell in love with someone because of the way that they are, but then when you get them, you want to change them. And it seems like
they fell in love with the way they are. In their mind, they fell in love with the idea of them, their perspective of them, whatever that may be. And a lot of people fall in love so fast. Not saying we didn't. We did. People fall in love really fast, but they fall in love with the version that person shows them, and they don't know all the rest. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it takes a long time to really get to know somebody. We've gotten lucky. This is luck.
Yeah. it's not luck. That's the universe.
Yeah. We've been through so much. We know what we don't want and we know what we want, right?
I think we also are able to see the red flags at this point. Like, you can see them, but we ignore them for so long, especially when we're younger. We don't really know how those go.
How long did y'all date before you moved in together?
We started dating in like December. And I was moved in by April.
Well, that would be quick for me. But how did y'all know? How did you know it was the right decision for both of you?
I knew the moment I met him, he was the one. I didn't think he liked me, though. But I knew it was going to work out when I looked at him on, like, our first real. So, basically, we met on TikTok, right? We ended up in Atlanta. We talked for, like, a couple weeks. Actually, you just want me to tell you this story because I don't know if I've ever told it on a podcast.
Go. Roll with it.
Okay.
Roll with it.
Story of Kelsey and Curtis. Okay, first things first. I saw them. So him and his best friend, Michael, I saw them back in, I think when TikTok, we all got on TikTok around April, whatever. I saw them, I think in like May, they were doing like a father-son thing. They've tricked the whole world into thinking they were father and son. I remember writing on Michael's page on their video and saying, I'll take the dad. But neither one followed me back.
We had no idea what we're doing. We had no clue.
Neither followed me back. That didn't even exist. So I unfollowed them. I was like, screw these boys. Rude. Don't see me. You don't see me. So I unfollowed them. And so then I posted a TikTok in July. And I'm walking out of my mom's house in like a green bikini. And it says when the family disappointment show up to the party, and I like smash a white claw on my head, and then I'm chugging one and just walk it there. He saw that and he was like, she's the one. That's the one. That's it. That was it for him right there. Well, and actually his friend last night told me that he was talking about me back then. Like, he's known about me since then. He used to talk about me all the time. I didn't know who he was because I had to forget him because he didn't follow me back. So erase that from my memory. I didn't know who he was. But I started dating someone else and he was like, why are you doing that? That's weird. So he never made his move, but he followed me, but I didn't follow him back. And then in November, I finally followed him back because everybody, it got out of a bad relationship. So everyone was making like a TikTok bachelorette. And so everyone's throwing men at me left and right. Men were being thrown left and right at me and they all wanted to take me on a date. It was a really fun 2 weeks. A lot was going on, but I followed him back because they tagged him and he made a video about it. Like, about time I followed him back or whatever. It was like some video.
It was the queen. Oh, I got all three of the girls in the queen team.
No, that was later. That's not this one. Huh? That was later. This is a different video. It was just to me because I followed him back.
It looks like things can get pretty serious.
Yeah, that one.
It's a green screen.
Yes. And I got drug in the comments. I mean, the most hateful comment section I have ever seen in my life. And they were like, I'm drunk. No, stay away. She's terrible. She's horrible. I mean, drug me in the comments. So then I thought he was going to like message me. He never messaged me. Like, nothing. So I was like, well, I guess he's believing what these people say and he's not going to hit me up. Whatever. I move on. Well, it's like 2 weeks after he posts that. And then he DMs me, but he.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Tries to sell me ketones. And I was like, what the heck? It's like, it's the weirdest stuff ever. And then he was like, oh, and by the way, it's me sliding in your DM. So I was like, okay, thank you. About time. Here's my number. Text me. Let's go. This is taking long enough. So then he texts me. We talk, but he was so short. He sucks at texting. So I didn't think he even liked me.
It's because I'm old. I'm 40.
But he literally.
Dude, I'm the same way. I cannot text a conversation.
I'd rather the car, rather pick a phone, talk to you.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't do that.
My fingers don't work like that.
Well, he literally starts out the conversation and said, what happened with you and your ex? I want to know everything. And so I was like, all right. So I send back this paragraph. I mean, like the book, the longest book, because I'm feeling like I have to like defend myself to really explain the whole situation. He writes back, okay. I wrote a whole book and this man wrote back, okay. And I was like, okay, he's just not interested. There's no way this dude's interested at all. Well, then I had to go to Thanksgiving in Atlanta, and he was in Thanksgiving in Atlanta or in Atlanta for Thanksgiving with his mom, and I was visiting my brother. So the internet had told him where I was and vice versa. Everyone knew where we were but us. So he ends up texting me and he was like, hey, are you going to be in Atlanta? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, can I take you on a date? Yeah. I had already set up another date. I had plenty of dates while I was down there. I was very public about my dating. And then he texted and said he wanted to do a group date. So again, I'm like, this dude does not like me. We go on this group date. We had so much fun. It was so much fun. Took me to eat first and I realized he might like me. Then we went Topgolf, and then we went to a club where he kissed me. And I was like, okay, he likes me. So then the next day I was like, I'm just like a little girl, you know, like a little butterflies Giddy. Can't shut up. Yeah. And I thought I ruined it because I was texting too much and he was still so short. So I was like, I give up. He doesn't like me. And then it was the next night. He had asked if Kobe or it was something like me and my daughter hadn't eaten. He was on live making food. And I was like, you should have invited me over because I need food. He was like, I didn't know you were still here, blah, blah, blah. Well, my food ended up not getting delivered from DoorDash. And so I texted him. I was like, I hate this city. Because they didn't even deliver me my baby's food. So he was like, oh my gosh, no problem. He calls me and he's like, I'm going to bring you guys food. And I was like, 30 minutes away. He drove and got me and my daughter Chick-fil-A and then dropped it off to us and then went out and then asked to come back over. And he came over and we stayed up till like 6 a.m. just talking on the couch and making out a little bit. A little touchy. But that was it. That was it. And then we just started talking. So it was long distance because I was in Indiana. He's in South Carolina. So then every day after that, he called me and talked to me like an hour every night. It still took me like 3 weeks to realize he liked me. I would text my friends. I was like, I can't tell if he likes me. We talk every night though for hours, but I can't tell if he likes me. They're like, girl, he likes you. And I was like, we'll see. Well, then we ended up planning our first trip together.
Around New Year's.
It was New Year's Eve. We took our kids to a cabin for the weekend. That was like our first trip date.
I think that's perfect, though. I think that's perfect as parents.
Yeah. Well, I looked at him, and we talked the first night there, and I was like, or he was like, I don't want to date anyone else. Like, I kind of, like, we don't have to be official. We don't have to tell the world. We're like, I don't, like, I'm just going to focus on you. And I was like, okay, great. But then we made a TikTok telling the world. So then the next night, I was like, just so you know, you're my boyfriend. Like, I hope it's not a question at this point. And then I was like, what was like a month later? I was like, just so you know, I'm moving in. And then he went to Japan. I moved in while he was out of the country. And then in May, I said, I want you to buy me a ring. And by buy me a ring, I'm going to buy it right now and Venmo.
I don't know if you're the perfect woman or the worst woman. I love how upfront you are and how, because most of us men, that's all we want. We just want a woman to tell us what they want. I mean, that's it. Like, I don't want to sit here and question your feelings or whatever. I don't want to play games. I just want you to say it. But if you told me I want a ring and I'm going to buy it now and you can just Venmo me for it, I probably would have had to pump the brakes. Like, I probably would have been like, okay. But no, I think
it's good. I knew it was safe.
No, I think it's cool. I'm a helpless romantic anyway. So like, I feel like when you hear people's stories like y'all's, it kind of makes you happy. It kind of just like reinforces that idea that there is somebody for everybody, but everybody's wrong for you till you find that one person.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's
I cool. really didn't think it was a thing until it happened. And like with everything I had been through, but I was going to keep trying. I did keep saying that. It's like, at the end of the day, it's not going to come unless I know what I want. And I put that energy out into the world. And so I worked very hard on myself.
What about you, Curtis? How was it like for you right there at the beginning with the date and all that from your side of it? What was it like?
I mean, it was great. Like, again, she's a very misunderstood woman, right? When it comes to the grand scheme of things, very misunderstood. And the first time I saw her and the first time I talked to her, I completely got the sense of humor. I got it, right? And you get to the point where I was single. I did my thing. I had my fun running the streets, but it gets old after a while, right? It gets old.
Yeah.
You know, not knowing you're going to be able to take somebody home at one night, or you're going home by yourself half the night. You know, it's like, it's just, and then going out and having to play the game. It was like, I'm done. I'm good. It's too much, you know? So like, I wanted to start dating somebody. I wanted to start a family, especially because she has a daughter, and I don't have daughters. So it gives me an opportunity also to raise a daughter, right? Not that she's not my daughter, but raise a girl per se. She has her dad. I completely understand, but I just want to show her there are positive male role models in the world. And this is how I treat my kids, this is how I'm gonna treat you too, right? So like, that for me was one of the biggest things, being able to kind of like raise a little girl. I don't have a girl, so.
He just wanted me for my kid.
You hit the fucking jackpot, dude. Y'all both hit the jackpot. This is stupid. I hate
it. I mean, like I said, it's various. We're huge on love languages. Like, I know where I messed up my previous relationship with my ex-wife. I know where I screwed up. I know where I fucked up. I told her that. I've told her that. And I'm doing the things that she loves to her, and she's doing things that I love for me. And it's working out great. Like, I haven't.
That was one of the first things he asked me. What are your love languages? I need to know now. I'm like, I don't even fucking know.
Because it's huge. Like, we have inert things in us that we want from someone else, right? I'm acts of service. Like, I love acts of service. And that's what I do. Like, she said I drove 30 minutes to get her Chick-fil-A. I would have done it for anybody because I'm an acts of service person. That's what I
take that away from me.
You know, I'm just saying, doing things for people. Yes. So like, she knows it's huge to do things. So she does things. And it's,
what's mine?
Oh, everything. All of them. Except for gifts. She's not really gifts.
I'm not a gift.
So like, words of affirmation, physical touch for sure.
So what do you have to do quality, every day?
Quality time. Not to tell her she's beautiful every day. Or she'll come, or she'll come to the door and she'll peek. She's like, you can tell me I was pretty today. I was like, bitch, it is 9 o'clock in the morning. We just woke up. I just took a poop.
Hurry up.
Chill.
Time is a wasting.
So yeah, again, that's my take.
Y'all two are fucking a match. Like, I mean, there's some people I look at. I've had people on my show that are couples. And like, always telling their stories and stuff. My friend Brianna and Jimmy, they're the same way, but y'all two are like them turned up to 10. Like, it's just the way you even like banter and back and like bounce off of one another. Like, it'll be, where's Kelsey and Curtis at in 10 years from now? They're still together aggravating the shit out of each other. Like, it's easy to see, but like the good aggravating.
Yeah. Oh no, it's fun. We enjoy it.
Yeah, it is.
Do y'all have any like plans as far as honeymoon or anything going, or I know y'all just are doing whatever for the ceremony, but is there anything special that y'all plan on doing here soon?
We want to go. We have like a list of places we want to go. It's hard because he has 50-50 custody. It's like, I have sole custody of Kobe, but she goes to Indiana a total of like 7 weeks out of the year right now. He has his kids every other week. So like, some of the places we want to go, we're talking like 2-day travel on each end, so like 4 days. So we can't really go because we have to be back for the kids. So like, we are trying to plan something near. We went to Mexico and we liked that, but we might do like a Punta Cana or something next year.
Yeah, some short flight, maybe like a day.
Yeah, it has to be like short travel. Otherwise, we would love to. But we'd have been gone. We'd have been gone this week. Oh yeah, we almost jumped a plane this week.
Jumped a plane this week and just flew somewhere.
We were done.
But COVID is restricting a lot of travel too. Yeah. So that sucks. Like if COVID didn't exist and my schedule wasn't like it was, last week we'd probably been in Thailand or Greece or something like that for the week.
Yeah.
If I wasn't scared to get on a plane, I would be going somewhere all the time.
Scaredy on a plane? Really?
I am a bitch. A big scaredy cat. I'm telling you. I can't
work on that.
I know. I had got an offer to go out to Texas like a couple days ago and do some events, like host some events and everything. And they were paying for travel and all this kind of stuff. And I had to turn people down like all the time because I'm not going to drive that far for a two-day event, but I'm scared shitless of it.
There ain't none to be scared of. You have a higher chance of getting struck by lightning than anything happened on that plane.
That's what they say, but my anxiety. Like, I need someone to give me about two or three Xanaxes, some alcohol, and then drag my fat ass onto that plane and drag it off.
When's the last time you flown?
I haven't.
Never. Ever. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
I will say the last time I flew was a scary one because we literally flew through like a tornado. Like,
that's what you tell the guy that's scared to get on planes.
We made it.
It said, oh, by the way,
everything was fine. We made it. My daughter is on that one. I will tell you this. So she's four. Remember, she's just four. She was five seats up ahead of me with my cousin. They had a separated. I don't know. I was in the back. And I was literally in tears because one, she's up there. I kept thinking about Kobe Bryant and the helicopter. You know what I mean? Like, my head was doing all kinds of terrible things up in that air because it was so bad. We get off the plane and I was like, honey, were you scared? And she said, of what? I'm not scared. I'm angry because they wouldn't let me get up to pee and I needed to pee and I didn't understand why they wouldn't just let me pee. And that's all she cared about. This plane was all over the place. And she was like, the audacity to not let me get up and pee. She didn't care about nothing else.
Well, but I bet you're going to have to buy her a full tiara, a castle, everything by the time that youngin's 15 years old.
Oh, and
my house is full of toys. I mean, I got a play kitchen downstairs. I got a play kitchen upstairs. I'm waiting for a play kitchen to go to my bedroom.
She gets what she wants. But I feel like she's been through so much and she is such a good kid that I will give her whatever she wants as long as she is being her sweet little perfect self through everything. She deserves it. She's earned it in my mind.
Do the other parents co-parent well with y'all?
Ooh.
Is that
a hot topic?
If that's touchy, we can go somewhere else.
No, it's fine. I mean, with mine, obviously, I don't really talk to him.
Yeah.
Most people, I've talked on a couple podcasts about the domestic violence, but that was my 8-year-long relationship where I was physically, mentally, emotionally abused very terribly. We're talking busted lips, black eyes, broken elbow, unconscious. I don't know how many times I went to jail one of the times. So on my record, I actually have disorderly conduct. But the girls above his old apartment called because they feared for my life. They could hear him physically attacking me, called the police. And when the police came in, I didn't say anything. I wouldn't say what happened. So they put me in handcuffs.
Ooh.
Yeah. And they put battery on a cop on mine. That one got dropped because that was like, no, I didn't. Feel like I should have with how mean they were to me. They like threw me into a wall because I was asking questions. I was like, what? Why are you here? I knew damn well why they were there. My dumb ass. Why are you here? What did we do? And they threw me into the wall, which I mean, looking back, I'm like, I should have just said something, you know?
Yeah.
But I was in a trauma bond type of relationship and it was my priority to protect him for some. It's all a big hot mess, but that was my, he's my product of my domestic violence surviving story. So I did have protective orders for a really long time. So he actually could not communicate with me at all. We would go through his parents. And now I don't have the protective order anymore, but we still just prefer that. He knows how public I speak on, obviously, my situation now very publicly. So he's not a huge fan of me. But I will say he doesn't speak bad about me in front of my child. I've never heard anything like that. She doesn't seem to know any sort of difference in anything. So I know like she's taken care of up there with his family, and he isn't, you know, being a bad father in a sense. He does still go to jail for beating up women frequently. So he's on house arrest right now. And to see her, he has to be supervised by his parents for the next 2 years. But so me and him don't really talk. He was on the phone the other day, and like, she's not feeling good. So like telling me how she's feeling, and he's pretty civil at this point with me, but we don't try to communicate through each other. I don't know if you want to talk about Jared.
I'm probably just going to plead this.
That's fine. I don't know. I have a situation. I have another daughter in Alabama, and me and her mother hate each other. Like, we hate each other. And there was never any domestic violence or anything like that. It was just a very bad time in both of our lives. Like, it was just real rough for both of us. We were kind of kids, but kind of not that phase between an adult and a child or whatever. And we still battle with custody and stuff like that and everything. And Lila will be 7 in March of next year. And it's just weird. And it's always good to see, which I didn't know. I knew some of the backstory on it because I listened to Gabrielle. I was on Gabrielle's show before you was. Okay. And I love Gabby. She's just a fucking sweetheart. I think the world of her. And so when you did her show, I listened and I was like, okay. Because I grew up in a house with domestic violence. And I am someone who, if I have put myself in situations I didn't need to be in, because I would see a man put his hands on a woman and then I would try to be Robin Hood. And then I'd end up getting cussed out by the woman after the fact, you know, like a jackass. So I'm always very, I don't know. I hate that shit. Like, I hate it. And I didn't really know a lot about it, but I like the fact that he gets to still see his daughter, even that it's not, you know, you probably hate him or however you feel about him. But you haven't took his child away from him, even though some probably might say he deserved it, you know?
Well, that's the thing. Like, she doesn't know any different.
Yeah.
The only part that confuses her is when he's in and out. And he's in and out because he goes to jail or it can't see her because he beat up somebody. You know what I mean? But, like, she doesn't know that. And right now, she doesn't need to know that. I have always said once she starts asking questions, I'll give her the answers. I'm never going to lie to her. So we'll see how that goes over later, but as of right now, like, she has a healthy relationship with him, and I wouldn't want, that's what I say, what I call it, is like, my trauma is not her burden to bear. I hate that man, but I also, it's weird. So like, yes, I hate him. I hate him for everything he did to me and put me through, but he also gave me something that is life-changing. Like, I couldn't live without her. So he gave, it's the weirdest feeling. You know what I mean?
No, I get it.
Because if I didn't have this story to tell, I wouldn't be helping so many other women. And it took me going through it to be able to help. So.
No, I get it.
Blessing and a curse.
Yeah. Hey, same thing. I was helping this girl get through the last year of RN school. And she was living with me. And we had been dating for a long time. And I had caught her cheating. And when I caught her cheating, I was like, you got to go. Like, I'm not about this life. No, thank you. Well, as she's moved out for like a month, turns out she's pregnant. And then I'm like, oh shit. Like, come on back, because I want to do what I'm supposed to do. And try to make it right. Well, then while she was pregnant, she was cheating again. She's a class act. And
While she was pregnant?
While she was pregnant. The guy who she cheated on me with while she was pregnant called me because he found out the next day that she was pregnant. Somebody else told him. And he was like, I am so sorry. I had no idea. I'm never going to speak to her again. I didn't know she was living with you, like all this stuff. And I was like, all right, look, I don't care what the fuck you are or if you have my kid. If you're going to do that now, you guys to go. Like, no looking back. And no. She made me out to be the worst person alive. That I told her while she was pregnant that I was kicking her out of the house. And if you hear, without hearing the rest of the story, that a guy kicked out a pregnant lady.
Yeah.
I sound like shit. I sound like it took years before her friends and everybody got the whole story, because she ended up showing like her true colors by just being ugly to everybody. I mean, it always comes out.
It always comes out. But
you being able still to allow that to happen, I envy that, because I've offered a trip to Disney World. Me and my daughter and the one that I'm really close with, we went to Disney World last year, and I messaged my other child's mother and was like, hey, I will pay for you, your husband, and Lila to go with us to Disney World for 4 days. I will pay every bit of it. Your food, everything's covered. Just come. No response, no nothing. I just don't know her deal. So
I don't get that.
Them living in another state, the whole custody agreement and everything is just it's hard.
Yeah.
So I like seeing people work together, I guess is what I'm saying. There's people that are in way worse situations than I am, and way worse than y'all. And it's just like, you know what? We ain't got it that bad. It sucks. It sucks.
We choose to make it about ourselves, not about our kids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like it should just be about the kids,
regardless
of anything else. But we can't seem to get out of our own way, our own head, our own situation, and it's just damaging to everybody. At the end of the day, it sucks. You know, I'm not gonna talk much about my situation, but my custody is 50-50 split. I just really have a hard time communicating with her about my kids. It's always something else. It's never just about the kids. So that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest hurdle. If it was just about the kids, it'd be great. And I'd be apt to do, like, what she doesn't realize, I'd be apt to do so much more for her or try to help out in situations.
It's hard to want to help somebody who is very mean and hateful. And it's like, you can't be mean and hateful to somebody and then ask for stuff.
Yeah.
I'll never get that.
Right.
I know what you mean, dude.
It sucks because, like, you want to help. You want to, because it's for the kids. Yeah. But then it's like, so like a lot of times I think right now is we're working on sucking up the pride. Like, even if she has been mean or hateful or did something, like, if we are still truly putting the kids first, we're going to show compassion no matter what. It's very hard. I've talked a little bit about, like, I try not to speak on it to her, but she does not like me. She hates me.
I understand it though. There's no way I'd want to be your ex or Curtis's ex. Because dealing with you, it's like, it's polarizing. It's so fun. Yeah, and you being as intelligent and witty as you are, there's no winning.
But again, in her situation, she has every right to be as mean, as nasty as she wants to in her situation. But she chooses not to, even though what she's been through. That's the crazy part about it, right? If you think about it, what she's been through with her ex, and she still chooses to be nice. Like, come on.
I was dating this girl like 3 years ago, and I thought, like, I had found somebody that was going to be my one and all this stuff. Well, when I did, I messed up, and I neglected the feelings of my daughter's mother, the one that I have a good relationship with. And same thing you were saying while ago, Curtis, is this woman, she's not – Gracie's mother's not a bad woman. I think she's a saint for putting up with all my shit for 15 years. Like, I think she is a saint, but she's just mean. She is just mean. She's a sweetheart to everybody else in the world but me. But I neglected her for so long and not putting them first. When I got broke up with by this person I thought was going to be the one, I realized that I wasn't doing what I should have been towards her. I shouldn't have been mouthing off the way that I was. I should have been, even when she was being mean, I should have tried to keep it civil. That way we had a good relationship for Gracie. And it took me forever to start biting my tongue.
While we were separated.
Oh, it was after the fact. Like, I had to learn, by being ugly to them, it doesn't do anything but make it worse. It's almost like they want it. And sometimes I just got to keep my mouth shut. Then it sucks.
He doesn't ever respond. So
because it doesn't work, right? If I respond, it goes into something else. If I respond again, it goes into something else. It just doesn't stop. So in order to stop, I have to just not respond or not engage.
But it's very hard. I mean, because like you said, the mean. And so you want to say something back because someone is so mean, but he really doesn't say anything back and still gets the mean. But she did tell me one time, which I thought was very big of her to admit, that it's hard for her to see him love me the way he does, because that's all she ever wanted. So she has openly admitted that. So a lot of times I think it's just hurt. Like with in their situation, like there really wasn't anything super bad that ended, you know what I mean? It wasn't bad. There wasn't like my situation.
You just get complacent. 14 years of marriage, you get complacent, you fall in love, you start, you stop doing love languages, you start nurturing that relationship, and you just fall in love.
So it wasn't anything bad with them. So it's more on her end. I feel like there's just a lot of like bitter, hurt feelings still because he didn't give her what he's giving me. So she hates me.
How old were y'all when you got married, Curtis?
Bro, I was 25. She was 22. I literally graduated college, walked and got my diploma, and walked to my wedding and got married the same day.
See, I don't think people need to get married young anyway.
No.
I think that anybody that says, like, right out of high school that you want to get married is stupid, or in that you don't know who you are till you're fucking 30. Like,
exactly.
It takes you so long to get comfortable with yourself and figure out what really makes you happy.
Right.
You're not established. You don't have a job. I mean, again, I'm not saying money is everything, but you don't know anything about anything at that point.
Right. But nothing also, you don't even know how to love yourself yet. They don't teach you self-love. You have to go on that journey. And until you do, you don't truly put out the energy that you should be getting back.
And there's so many hurdles for young kids nowadays to get married. There's just so much with everything. I mean, you have to deal with so much, not just having to be with a partner, right? But everything in life, you're getting thrown out to the wolves to do life, right? Jobs, careers, then you throw in kids and they're like, that shit's a mess. To be 23 years old trying to navigate partners like that. It's insane. Nobody, we at 40 can't even do that shit half the time. Right?
I'll tell you, you've got to be two strong individuals to be in your 20s and your arguments to be about money. Like when you said a while ago about.
I was counting.
Oh yeah. Well, what my thing with money has always been like when you said a while ago that until you're financially stable, until you have an argument when you're not like in that situation and it's about money and you spending too much or whatever, that's one of the worst arguments ever.
Yes, I don't know.
I'm sorry, I'm poor.
My own money. But,
the hell with my broke ass, you know. It's okay. Let's just pick on the poor people. No, that's fine. It's only the poor.
I didn't have anyone to argue with about money because I was making the money. It was my money.
Okay, breadwinner. We got it.
Yeah,
but household. You're good.
Jeez.
There's no way. You are definitely a woman that if I got around for 10 minutes, I'd be like, you know what? This is my best friend, but I don't ever want to cross. I don't want to cross her path. I don't want to anger her. I don't want to do anything to make Petty LaBelle come out because she's Petty ruthless. You are ruthless, bro.
Just here for a good time.
Well,
ruthless with a big heart though. Like ruthless can be ruthless. Like she's like a little chihuahua, but like,
chihuahua.
Bro, the pit bull comes out.
Yeah. I know you can see I'm scared of it myself.
But
well, I just appreciate y'all taking time and doing the show and with everything that y'all got coming up. I wish y'all the absolute best. I know that y'all don't need it because y'all gonna be fine. This is so stupid to sit here and watch. It also makes me want to go like download Tinder and Bumble real fast too.
Don't forget about Grindr. Don't throw out the other one. They gotta mention
what's the other one?
You gotta mention it all. You gotta mention Grindr.
Oh no. Grindr. Look, if I got one more failed relationship, I'm liable to try penis. I'm telling you, you can't leave it open. I'm telling you, I'm tired of arguing.
Another man.
I fucking like you guys so much. But if y'all have anything you want to say to end this with, say it. Leave a positive mark on it, and then I'll say goodbye.
If you're interested in coming to our charity event, you can go to intothewoods.live and we are selling tickets there for Saturday, September 11th charity event. It's from 5 to 10. If you can't make it, but you want to watch, we are having the whole event live streamed. So it will be, it's technically on the Riff app, but it will be a web browser link. So any phone is compatible with. We're just asking that if you do want to watch it live, that you donate a minimum of $20 at IntoTheWoods.live for our charities. And again, our charities are Breaking the Silence Against Domestic Violence, the Down Syndrome Association of the Low Country, and the first Edgefield's First Responders. So.
You guys are awesome. All right, Curtis and Miss Kelsey, I appreciate it.
All right, Jason, appreciate it. Josh, sorry, shit.
How the fuck? It's right here.
It's right here. I feel like you did that on purpose. It's too
I feel
quick.
Like you did too. I feel like you did it. He had it planned out.
Yeah, you're right, my bad.
Yeah.
It's all right, Dwayne.
First of all, the all white right. leader out there. That is, let's talk about that.
Yeah, there's some shade. All right, hey, folks. Well, thank y'all. Y'all have a good